Dave.
And now we join Diana O'Carroll with our question of the week.
This week, time to sort the clutter in the genetic attic.
My name is Alan, and I'd like to know what the point is of non-coding DNA.
There are strings of letters and proteins that seemingly don't code for anything in particular. So does all that extra stuff have a purpose?
I'm Julian Huffert. I'm the Member of Parliament for Cambridge, but before that I was an academic working on genomics. Well, there are various ways of thinking about it, and we're still trying to understand some of it. But in some ways, the coding sections are the recipes for the proteins that we have, the genes. And the non-coding DNA is very important in saying how much of this should be there, when is it turned on, when is it turned off. So all of those controls are hidden in the non-coding sections of DNA. Then there are some other bits which are old things which we don't really use, genes which were useful a few million years ago. We still have bits lying around. And then there are some bits which are junk, that are viruses that have crept into our genome over time. What I used to work on was something called a G quadruplex. So DNA of the right sequence can form four-stranded knots. And these can act as off switches which stop a gene from being active. And it started off as an interesting theoretical curiosity. We actually found that almost half of all human genes seem to have these switches in a way that could be playing a role in turning them on and off. And in particular, most cancer genes had these little structures which just almost formed a little knot at the beginning of the gene to make it marked as off.
So-called junk DNA can be acting in other ways, as on-off switches, packaging for coding DNA, or instructions on how that DNA is unpacked. And Imat Fall said on the forum that DNA can have another use altogether, fingerprinting for identification. Next week, what's the point of duplication?
Hi, I'm Rebecca Ferris. I live in Norwich, and I was just wondering, why is it that we have two of some organs, like we have two eyes and two kidneys, when we could probably make do with just one, but we only have one of some other organs? So if we're going to have a spare kidney, why don't we have a spare liver? And could it change as we evolve? If we don't really need these things, could we lose them, or could we get an extra one of some other organs? Thank you.
Why have two kidneys when we can get by on one? Answers to Chris at thenakedscientist.com. You can write on the forum at thenakedscientist.com/forum. You can Facebook us or Twitter at Naked Scientists.
That was Diana O'Carroll with our question of the week. And if you know why we have spare organs, get in touch.
But that's all we have time for this week. Thanks very much to our guests, Dermot Ruddy and Joe Jones, and our production team of Tom Simpkins, Mira Senthilingam and Diana O'Carroll. Next week, we're pushing through the pain barrier. We'll find out how chronic pain is managed, and we'll explore the new research into blocking problem pain permanently. So if you've got any science questions for us, tweet them to @NakedScientists, write on our wall at thenakedscientists.com/Facebook, or email us chris@thenakedscientists.com.
The Naked Scientists comes to you from Cambridge University and is supported by the Wellcome Trust, the EPSRC, the Natural Environment Research Council, and UK FAST. For more information, look us up online at thenakedscientists.com.